This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Welcome in. KennedyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. This is the Scoreboard Show. Final score from Detroit, 13-12. The Lions over the Jaguars. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Throw a 1-800 in front of that. If you are out of the area, Linda Fortunato heading to the phone as we speak, and I'm sure they'll light up shortly, and the talk will be quarterbacks, 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 right?
I think there's going to be some head-scratching going on, to be frank with you. I think, you know, when you preach competition, and fans, what fans see is they see the games more than anything, okay? We know there have been a great turnout with fans. I mean, the peak practice this summer was 6,200 roughly.
The rookie camp. Yeah.
It's about a tenth of what you're going to have in the stadium on a game day. So the vast majority of Jaguar fans don't watch the practices in person. They don't see the kind of play and the progression, steady progression, but starting from a rough spot and getting better with Blake Bortles. Chad Henne's been, having a best offseason since he's been a Jacksonville Jaguar. So the coaching staff does see that every single day, and they have to factor that in. But there's no denying that, to me, and I think to most, gameplay is the biggest factor. And Blake Bortles consistently now has said, no matter what I've done in practice, I come out there and I'm a gamer and I deliver. And I think people are going to be scratching their heads with Gus Bradley being so definitive. Look, I'm not shocked. The message has been the same since day one. As you pointed out, JP,
Yeah. Even
since they re-signed Chad Henne, Yeah. They made it clear, this is the guy. He's going to be our starter this year, even if we draft a quarterback. This is the bridge to the future, but the future's not here yet. The future's on the doorstep, though, and people are wondering when you're going to answer that knocking that you're hearing at the door right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll go to the phone line shortly. Chad Henne tonight, 9 of 14, 70 yards. 76.5 rating. Bortles, 10 of 16, 158 yards, and a touchdown. 116.1 rating for the rookie.
Bortles drives it down the field, and there's no question about that.
Just looks different.
It does look different, but again, let's go back to that one play. And you can't look. One play doesn't change everything. Cecil Shorts looks over the correct shoulder on that out cut. That's a 40-plus yard completion, Chad Henne, and maybe that drive get sparked, and maybe the Jags all of a sudden have a little bit of momentum. Maybes are fine, but it didn't happen.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if you're going to hang it on one play to me didn't separate the difference between Blake and Chad tonight.
And going back to the first preseason game against Tampa, the two snaps over Henne from Brewster, those are plays that who knows what could have happened on those. So it's the same kind of situation. The ifs of the bad snaps in week one and this, the ball down the field on the wrong shoulder, you just don't know. And is it fair to Henne? I don't know.
It's life. It's just the way it is, right? I mean, look,
football.
Blake Bortles threw a pass. It could have been a pick six. It turned out to not be a pick
six.
That's
right. It could have been two. Yeah,
you know what? Jonathan Cyprien with a head of steam, if he picks off Matt Stafford, who knows how far he goes. But that doesn't hurt Matt Stafford's quarterback rating because he didn't catch the football. And, you know, you're going to have some of that. You said it. The eyeball test tells you. It's not – you can give that one play here. You can take that one play over here. The overall eyeball test has Jaguar fans saying, Dave Caldwell, you are a savant, because nobody was saying – not many were saying Bortles to the Jacksonville Jaguars with the third overall pick. And right now, there's not a fan base that's happier with their young quarterback than the one here in Jacksonville.
And there's not a GM probably happier than Dave Caldwell. The best situation he could be in. He has a veteran quarterback in Henne. They're going to let him be the guy. They got a rookie quarterback that's playing well that they don't have to force out there right now.
Hayes Carline of the Florida Times-Union tweeted out he was riding down from the press box on the elevator with Dave Caldwell. He said he was grinning pretty big or something that had effect. I mean, look, this guy right now is hitting on all cylinders, and let's hit on all cylinders with your phone calls. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. As JP told you, outside the 904 calling area, 1-800-NFL1, 1-800-355-NFL1. Carolyn on the north side going to get us started here on the post game. What's up, Carolyn? How are you?
How are you?
We're good. Hello. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about the Blake Bortles, because I've been telling everybody all the time.
All right, hit us.
Tell us what you think. We're listening.
Okay, Blake Bortles is a man.
Okay.
He's a man, don't you know? Okay, all they talked about was Johnny Manziel. But who getting all, he got all the attention. And yet and still, Blake Bortles outplaying him. And I don't hear Sports Center say nothing about that.
You know what, Carolyn?
I feel that's not right.
Let him ignore.
I think
who cares?
Boy should be the starting quarterback.
Do you want hype or do you want productivity?
Ooh.
I think you know the answer to that. You're getting productivity. Let Johnny Manziel have the hype. Who cares? Blake Bortles is going to force the nation to take notice of him, JP. He's going to and you know what? I think they have. I think the serious media have recognized that. The hype's still going to follow him.
Yes.
Monet Davis might not have been the best player in the Little League World Series, but she was the story, right? She was the focus. So you follow the story, that's fine. Blake will become a story if he continues to play like this.
Well, Blake's going to be a story because he was the number 3 overall pick, for goodness sake. That's the way that's going to work at some point. He doesn't have the flash off the field with the headlines of Manziel. But you don't want that anyway. That's why you drafted him.
He's going to be the story because of the way he plays.
Yes.
Period.
That's it.
Period. What do we say? We said, could you imagine this guy that we've come to know a little bit over a few months, if Ndamukong Suh said the wrong thing to him? Could you imagine Blake Bortles showing him the middle finger? I mean, you just couldn't imagine. Blake Bortles is playing every card right. You listen to him in the post game. Yeah. He's like a 6-year veteran quarterback. And even if it's coach speak, he's smart enough to do it. The one play, you and I said, we got to highlight this play. The fake snap. Now, we know that was a play call, okay? Right at the end of the half, or the fake spike. He comes up, he fake spikes, and he's taking a shot. If it's not there, you throw it over Mike Brown's head, which is what he did. But the calmness in his demeanor. He didn't rush. Everything was fine. 5 seconds left, ticking clock. Execute that play. He probably knows it's coming, but he remembered to listen for it in that situation. It was a savvy play, and it was the only play you're going to score on, because if you spike it, you're not going to take a shot in the end zone. Yeah. You're going to try to kick the field goal. Just one more small example of what we're talking about.
The moment was not too big for him, you know, and that's a fear with a lot of rookies coming into that situation, especially a 2-minute drive on the road against a first-team defense. He was up to it, and there was no doubt about it.
He's been up to it every step of the way so far. Brad on the north side, next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Brad. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well.
What's on your mind?
Sorry, I just turned my radio off.
It's all right. What's on your mind, man?
I guess I'm just wondering. I saw on Twitter, Gus made the comment that the door was not open for Blake to become the starter right now. I apologize if this has already been addressed. I just was able to start listening a couple minutes ago. So my question is, from both your perspectives, what do you think it'll take out of Blake for Gus to decide that door is open? Because, really, by all measurements, Blake has looked great through games. So I'll take my answer off the air, but I just wanted to pose that question to you guys. What do you think Blake needs to do for Gus to decide the door is open for Blake?
You got it. Thank you, Brad. I guess 16 of 16 for 285.
Yeah, 3 touchdowns, run
Look,
for another 20.
All seriousness, yeah. We kind of touched on this. As you said, everything you've seen, well, all you've seen probably, for the most part, are those performances, and they've been outstanding.
Sure.
Okay, and the scrimmage as well was pretty good. He's built steadily. I think he's gotten better just about every week in the preseason, the games. But they are out there with him every single day. And I say this to Jaguar fans, that I know there's a frustration with this decision right now. Clearly there's a frustration, but do you not think Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell want to put this team and that guy? They want this guy to win for 10 years, for 12 years here in Jacksonville. And I understand, you know, people are sarcastically saying, oh, yeah, you're going to learn on the bench, you're going to do this. If you've believed in what they've done to this point, if you feel like they've taken the organization in the right direction, I don't think they've given you much reason to question the decision-making process from Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley collectively. Give them a shot. Could it prove to be wrong? It certainly could, but they're there every single day, and they, as much as anybody, have as much invested in the success of this team as anyone you can imagine.
And if they get to the point where they feel that he's ready, then they'll probably pull the plug and make the move.
It could be week 3. Maybe they just don't want to throw him out there on the road in the first couple games of the season. They want a home environment to open things up for
him. You could throw out any scenario
all
you want.
All kinds of
week
things.
Week 5, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. If they feel he's ready, like you said, they see him every hour of the day in this building. in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, everywhere. And if they feel he's ready, he'll probably be the guy. But that's just going to take a little bit of time.
They're the judge, and like I say, they're as invested in this team having success short and long term as any fan out there for sure. Solomon in Orange Park, you're next up here on the Scoreboard Show. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Fantastic. What's up?
I'm not going to talk about the quarterback because, just right. like y'all gentlemen just stated, I'm going to trust Dave on this one. But my question is the injury up there on Winston Guy and Sundari Marks. And the last question, has the offensive line been settled? Is the center is Luke, the rookie, or are we going with Jacquez?
Well, the first answer about the injuries. Winston Guy came back in the game with an ankle injury, so that's good news. Sundari Marks has an MRI on his shoulder tomorrow on the schedule. We'll find out, I guess, tomorrow. I don't think there's availability for media tomorrow, but we'll either find out Sunday when the availability is scheduled. That's at least the last schedule we saw. Scobie is just kind of a day-to-day thing, it seems like, with a quad injury, but I don't know if that would be too serious. Scobie will keep that in check. At least it seems like. Pozlesny didn't seem too major with him either, so that's good news. Now, the offensive line, I think it's pretty clear that Mike Brewster's in real trouble on this roster, first of all.
That's the first step, right? I mean, when Jacques McClendon lost a shoe and somebody had to go in for one play, it was Luke Bawanko.
You bet it was.
Right? So, I mean, I think that tells you where the pecking order is, at least. Now, they put McClendon in there. They're going to watch the film on this. We've talked about this, JP. If all else being equal, you want to go with the guy who you think is just starting out, who is not anywhere close to showing you what he's done and that you may feel his ceiling is higher. I think Bawanko's been solid. I haven't noticed him being obviously, an issue and being bull rushed or giving up, anything obvious and getting his quarterback killed. They're much better judges of that line play. My gut tells me he's got 51% to 49%. If I had to bet, I think he's the opening day starter at center.
We got another week to figure that out, and it could be a starting center and starting right guard that are rookies too. If Linder's a starting right guard, two draft picks this year. One of the draft picks was Bawanko, the draft pick they got from San Francisco, right?
That was the 6th round pick they got for Blaine Gabbert.
And they traded up to get Linder, so it's two notable draft picks for this team that could be starting as rookies.
I mean, you talk about everything Dave Caldwell touches turns to gold. You're happy to get anything in the Blaine Gabbert deal, and you think, oh, 6th round pick. Those guys don't even usually make the team. He may end up as your starting center on this football team.
Come protect the bank September 21st. The Jags and the Colts at 1 o'clock. You got to be here for the home opener, the best game day experience in the league. World's largest video boards, of course. Tickets going fast. Jaguars.com. Also, the Falcons game Thursday night, the final preseason tune-up. Tickets available for that one. The Jacksonville in Motion video from the scoreboard unveiling will encore during the game. If you're on the line, stay tuned. The lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. More of your calls coming up and much more after this. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Welcome back. 13-12 final. Lions over the Jags at Ford Field in Detroit. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey in the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville.
Jaguar Twitter's a lot of fun.
You think?
It's a fully interactive experience. You get J.P. Shadrick, you get me on the post game. Typically, you'll have Fred Taylor on the first hour of the post game as well. He'll be back with us next week. And you mix that in with Jaguar Twitter. That's a full night right there if you're a Jag fan. You know what? You could take 13-12 in the preseason. You would look back at a number of examples of that one or two plays. I mean, coaches say, and to the point we tune out when they say, one play here, one play there changes the course of the game. Well, you see that long run by Reggie Bush, as Sundari Marks described it after the game, two guys hitting the same gap. We think it was probably Cyprian was the extra one in that gap.
Yeah.
Based on Gus's conversation on the sideline with him immediately afterwards. And then Sip almost had the big pick right on the outset, and maybe that sets him up in scoring position as well. So still, This defense is keeping the Jags in the game every single week. If they get any kind of offensive punch going, they can win their share of football games.
You know, everybody likes the defensive front and what they can do. They feel like they're going to be able to stop the run in the long term. There was one gash tonight. There was one mistake. But that's how this defense is going to run. Stop the run, get some pass rush on those second and third and longs, and just see what happens. And you're right. I think this defense is going to be – a lot of folks feel it could be a top 10 defense.
Andre Branch told Rick Blue on the sideline that that's our mantra, attack the football. They're causing the ball to be on the ground, and they're getting their share of turnovers, and that's going to help you in a big way as well, because, you know, if this offense is not going to be able to generate consistently those 80-yard drives, and not many NFL offenses can consistently, give them short fields to work with, get points on the scoreboard. This defense doesn't look like it's going to need many to work with. Let's head out to Bay Meadows and talk with Susan next on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Just fine, gentlemen. I am calling, first of all, with a compliment to 1010XL on the fantastic coverage you guys have been doing for the Jags all week long and on game day this year.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Now, the two comments I want to make is, number one, and this might sound a little corny, but after Blake came in and did the two-minute run at halftime, to think that we might finally have a franchise quarterback in the future brought tears to my eyes. I'm serious.
I was that excited by
his play. Okay. Number two, did Cary Taylor cause us to miss 5 points to our score tonight, or what? Could you comment on that?
In what regard? Give us the specific.
Regarding the missed field goal by Casey and the 2 points after the field goal later.
Yeah, the 2-point conversion. I remember that. Right, that was
sure.
He was the intended receiver.
Right.
I believe there didn't make the play. I don't know about the field goal.
Was it a missed block?
Oh, it was the I don't know. I don't know where that was coming from.
Yeah, the description that we heard listening to the game, we're watching it on TV as we listened to Frank and Jeff on the broadcast, was that it was a holding issue.
Yeah, anger, I think.
With anger. So,
yeah, I don't know. And
not sure
Taylor
about that.
Taylor left the game with a wrist injury later, so
right.
We'll see how he is moving forward.
Look, Taylor has had he's been a solid player for them this offseason. There's just too many numbers right now.
He is what he
ahead
is.
Of him.
He's a guy who's been around for a couple years in the league, has moved a couple of times. And for this offseason, he's had a lot of time here because guys have been injured. Cecil's been out. Of course, Ace Sanders is down. The list goes on and on and on. So you have to have guys like him and Bumpus and guys like that to kind of carry the load. He's been one of those guys. Not that he couldn't crack the roster. He probably could. And like you said, it's just a matter of numbers.
It's nice when you're saying, hey, you know what, that guy might be able to play in the league, but he's not good enough to make this football team.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. And, Susan, JP didn't want to tell you he had a single tear roll down his cheek earlier as well.
I got a little misty.
During that two-minute drive.
A little misty.
Let's go to Tim on the south side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good, good. How we doing, fellas?
What's up,
right now?
Just wanted to touch base on you guys. Check it out. Now, I'm an avid listener. You guys do a great job. But just want to touch on the play of Blake, of course. You know, he is a stud already in the making. I mean, we all have to admit. But the defensive line, the defense is going to keep us in games this year, definitely. Something we finally needed, something we've been wanting as a Jaguar fan. Trust me, we need that defense to keep us in the game. Dave Caldwell and Gus have finally pieced it together. But tell me something. Do you guys not see? I mean, I like Chad Henne. I understand where they're going with it with Chad. But when Blake's in there, do you guys not see the difference? There's just that spark, you know, that spark that he brings to the game. And, I mean, how much longer are we going to, you know, put off the inevitable? I just want to take it off the air with that.
All right, Tim. Thank you, man. It's all up to one guy can answer that.
And we talked about this before, about the difference in the feel when he came in for that two-minute drive.
That's a good word for it, though. We're looking for energy, excitement, yeah. Electricity, spark. There's a spark when he comes in.
Right.
And I think you see it in the other players.
But
I think
they
feed off of that.
Is it a preseason spark?
Maybe.
Or is it, oh, this is the real deal. Could this happen against Philly spark? I don't know.
You know, and we're not going to
know. We're not
going to
find out, apparently.
It's Philly, but look, the guy was the third overall pick. Dave Caldwell, GM, who, if you look at these two draft classes and the free agents that he's brought in, there's not many misses. He's found diamonds in the rough. His frontline guys seem to be pretty good players. And he believed that if Blake Bortles had gone back to school, that all the draft-eligible quarterbacks next year, Blake Bortles would have been the best of the lot. That includes Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Brett Hundley. You name, you pick your guy. He has publicly stated that. So you should expect a guy, if Dave Caldwell's right about him to that degree, to play like this. Gus Bradley's right. This didn't change our mind about Blake because we do expect him to perform. I don't think it's a mirage. You know, it's not like he's come out of nowhere and it's like, wow, what is this?
He's
the third
guy?
Overall pick in the draft, you know? I mean,
he's supposed to be this.
He is supposed to be good. Now, the problem is those third overall picks and those top five picks don't always turn out to be that good, but this one's off to a good start. Let's go to Saqib up next here on the Scoreboard Show. What's up, Saqib? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing?
Hey, I just want to say a quick few things. I enjoy listening to you guys, but I disagree with everybody. Whoever says Blake should be not be starting, he's not ready. He should be starting right now.
Who's saying that?
I think everybody's
saying that. Gus is the only one who's saying it. So you disagree with Gus Bradley, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think he should be starting. I just love the kid. But let me ask you guys about this. This kid Hearns, I'm a Florida State fan. I'm a diehard Florida State fan, and you are too, Mike. Have you expected this kid? I mean, this kid is just.
You know what? He's an example of Saqib. Al Golden wastes talent down there, apparently, at the U.
What are they doing?
Because this guy
is
10 games a year.
I mean, this guy's coming in. He's lighting the NFL on fire. What's Al Golden doing? Yeah. Where's his head?
He got rid of Jed Fish and all hell broke loose.
It's unbelievable, you know? Maybe that's it. But
are you a Florida State fan?
I am a Florida State fan. Yeah. I'm quite happy to see Telvin Smith and others dot the roster.
Anyway,
it's been a while. You have issues with this?
No, just I didn't know that.
All right, now
it's
you
good
do.
To know.
All right,
good. I'm just
hey,
to
you
know
what?
You.
I'm an Allen Hurns fan too. Now
it's the preseason for everybody.
Keep this up. 7 for $1.13 and a touchdown. I think Allen Hurns is going to have a lot of new fans in Jacksonville.
I think it's awesome. Let's go to a timeout. The phone lines are open 355-NFL1, 355-6351 on Twitter as well. At JP Shadrick, and I can never remember.
At MD_1010XL.
Hey, we'll look for questions on Twitter as well. When we return, a look around the NFL and more of your calls. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Throw a 1-800 in front of that if you're outside of the area. The Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Final score from Detroit, 13-12, the Lions over the Jags. Let's look at some other scores around the NFL. Four other games in the league tonight. Giants a win over the Jets, 35-24 final. The Patriots look great tonight. Tom Brady, solid, 204 yards, couple of touchdowns, 30-7 Patriots over the Panthers. The Packers beat the Raiders 31-21. Rodgers was 9 of 20 but had a couple of touchdowns. And Maurice Jones-Drew, 40-yard touchdown run tonight for the Oakland Raiders in the 31-21 loss. One active game late third quarter. Seahawks all over the Bears, 31-0. In Seattle. That's a look around the National Football League. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351.
Seattle keeps playing like that, and their Super Bowl window seems nailed open. Yeah. You'll take those comparisons, Seattle South, right? they
keep
heading in that
coming.
Direction.
That sounds good to me.
Absolutely. We'll take some more of that, please. Let's head up to Tallahassee. Chris going to join us up next year on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going
on? Oh, not much. A couple of guys before the break kind of stole what I was thinking about talking about, so I'll run through them quick.
Yeah.
But I agree with the previous caller, just kind of the spark. I don't think they're actually playing harder for Blake, but it seems like it just because I think they're excited when he comes in, and that I think that just generally makes them play harder. And then the Allen Hurns, man, soon we're going to have to start talking about, is he going to be – you know, our top 2-3 receivers coming in with all the injuries and and so forth. So, I mean, it's exciting to see that. Hopefully our guys get back healthy, but at least someone's stepping up in the meantime. And we're excited over here in Tallahassee. We got some people getting on board over here, and, you know, with our we got the Gus bus over here that we're running, and I think we're going to keep cultivating Jags fans over here and see if we can split some time between the Noles and the Jags.
Well, how about not split? How about just all Jags all the time?
Or you can do Noles Saturday and Jags Sunday.
I have season tickets to both. We can make it work.
All right, thank you, Chris.
You know what? On Hearns, I think he is starting. He's got to be one of the top three receivers on his team.
It's going to be a primarily three wide receiver set offense.
Got to be. It's Cecil. It's Marquise. And it's Allen Hurns.
Absolutely. And let's look. Cecil Shorts. We've seen him perform in the National Football League in the regular season. When he's been healthy, he's been an emerging player for this team. Just got back tonight. You could hear him laugh it off. The great news is no setbacks for him tonight physically. So he's going to get a few more reps next week and hopefully hit the ground running in week number one. He's right now, I still consider Cecil Shorts the top of the pecking order he's been there and done that. Yeah. But be excited about what Allen Hurns has brought to the table. By the way, I got a tweet here a moment ago who said, now come on, Al Golden didn't waste his talent. Allen Hurns broke the receiving records in Miami. He did. Single season record. I get that. That's a little FSU Miami smack talk. All right, that's a little Al Golden smack talk is what that is. I call him Al Bronze myself because he hasn't earned the Golden. But bottom line is, who cares where he came from? You know, if you're a Jaguar fan, it shouldn't matter to you what college a guy played for. Ryan Elijah was a guy who used to be the sports director at CBS 47 and Fox 30 here in Jacksonville a few years back. Went to work up in Indianapolis. Has recently, in the last few years, relocated down to Orlando. We hooked up on Twitter just the other day for the first time in a while. He says there is a burgeoning Jaguar fan base in Orlando centered around Bortles mania. And he said you wouldn't believe how many new Jaguar fans, and look, I don't think they care. Now, there are some hardcores that say, hey, we've been here all along. Where were you? Well, that's fine.
That's true.
Shad Khan will take the new ones. You know what I mean? He'll take the Tallahassee Jags. He'll take the Georgia Jags. He'll take some from Alabama. Anywhere you want to be a Jag. By the way, shout out to our boys, BCB, UK, once again, staying up late, listening, tweeting us all throughout the evening. Those guys are diehards.
It's 5:20 a.m. in London, yes.
Go to bed.
You got to
get up. You got to get up early.
One note about that. You know, I was in during caravan season. One of the caravans was down in Oviedo. Of course, that's Vortle's hometown, and it's right by UCF, so there's a lot of that. But, I mean, I forget the total attendance. Like 1,300 people came to the caravan event. Vortle's
they were
Storm
excited.
Johnson and Cecil Shorts the third. Of course, they were there to see Vortle's and Johnson, I think, more than Cecil. But there's something to that there. Yes.
There's a bonus aspect to it. Dave called to me, if this guy had played wherever, you know, if he had played at that with the Cal Bears, if he was the same player, I think Dave Caldwell's a mercenary. He wants the best football players.
Oh, that's right.
He's not. Dave Caldwell's not trying to sell tickets, and he's made that clear. It's not his job. And Shad Khan doesn't think it's his job. Tickets are going to take care of themselves. Trust me. The enthusiasm, the passion that is growing and has reignited with this fan base is amazing for a team that's won 6 games in 2 years. You would think this is a team that's a perennial playoff team with the excitement we see in the summer, JP.
Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we come back, we'll look at field goals for Firehouse.
Oh, no.
Not a good look tonight.
I'm hungry.
You'll remain that way when we come back. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Final score, Detroit Lions over the Jags, 13-12. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. This is the Scoreboard Show.
What about the offensive line? Let's take a look at what about the left tackle tonight?
I've heard of him. Luke Jokel. First-round pick 2 years ago.
What you want is one of two things. You want nothing. You want no notice, right?
Right, that's fair.
Or you want maybe some big highlight pancake blocks, right? I mean, outside of that, you don't want to hear anything, talk anything, say anything about the left tackle. I'm a little concerned right now with the run blocking. It hasn't been consistent. Gerhardt did move the pile a few times on his own, still only 32 yards on 10 carries. Mm-hmm. Take away that big 18-yarder last week, very low average per carry. Jokel and Beatles, I thought, both got beat simultaneously on one play tonight. And every time they try to run that stretch play to that side, I don't care if it's Gerhardt, Todman, didn't work with Todman tonight, it hasn't looked good.
Yeah, it's been an issue. And even on the pass protection, I mean, Henny was sacked, what, twice tonight in this game? And hit another couple of times. Sue had the late hit on him. But Bortles officially was sacked one time for a one-yard loss. There's some room for improvement. Yes, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
for the offensive line, certainly in the run game. You're right.
If the run game more so than the pass game.
If Gerhardt has to carry the pile for 6 to 7 yards, that means there's a pile at 2 to 3 yards, and that's not where you want.
Right. Or you know what? If he's carrying it for 6 yards on a 20-yard run, that's fine. You know.
He has to carry it six yards to get any yards.
He's going 2 yards and then carrying two or three guys with him, which is great to do. You know, and this is an offense. Jed Fish keeps saying we want to be 58-42 run to pass ratio. Yeah. Right now, it's the passing game that seems to be clicking for this. You know, again, preseason, you know, talking with Jeff Loggeman this week, he says, look, you don't have these two-a-days anymore. That's the biggest. He said running game used to hit the season in midseason form because you had all this physical play in the preseason. That is taken away from what you're trying to do. And you're working with five guys, by the way, that are trying to get in sync for the first time together.
I don't understand 58-42. What's the difference between that and 57-43?
It's one percentage out of 100. I guess if you run 100 plays, that's one less run play.
I think you just threw one by you there, Mike. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm with you.
I'm easily fooled.
I'm curious to see what the offensive line starts with next week. If they're going to throw the starters out there for a couple of drives, if Bowenko's starting at center, Linder at guard, and Gradfield at right tackle, will they put him in there for a couple of drives to let those guys play together? Because they haven't played together much. As that starting five, if that's the starting five.
Well, without question, we talked about will they play Chad Henne at all next week. If they're going to play Chad Henne, if he's your opening day starter,
you better play him.
You better play those guys. At least, if Atlanta comes out and plays some of their starters. Now, they may rest a bunch of guys as well. You know, I mean, you're a game away. They probably have most of their position battles settled. They're a team that, despite, I believe, winning four games last year, probably thinks they can bounce right back with getting some key guys back healthy and make a playoff push this year.
And remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Bad news for all you sandwich eaters out there tonight. The Jags did kick a field goal, but it was shy of 40 yards. Scobie from 38 yards away in the first quarter. Redfern from 34 yards away to end the first half. So nothing over 40 tonight.
Now everyone goes home hungry. You're going to have to buy your own Firehouse sub this week. Sorry.
Try it again next week.
We'll try again next week.
And we'll see if what happens with Scobie's quad, too. That'll be an interesting topic whenever Gus Bradley speaks next time. Should be on Sunday when he speaks to the media. When we come back, final segment of the Scoreboard Show, we'll preview next week's game, what's going to happen this week, final week of the preseason. Maybe some cuts coming up. Yes, they're due by Tuesday, down to 75. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. 13-12 final. Lions over the Jags. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey for the final time. Want to know what's going on within the Jacksonville Transportation Authority? The award-winning Making Moves television program is in its sixth season of being North Florida's premier source for transportation news. For airtimes and more, visit jtafla.com. Baptist Health Injury Report. We've mentioned Posluszny's bicep injury. Doesn't seem too major, just out as a precaution.
Yeah, reports say shouldn't be anything.
The big concern is Sendarik Marks, his shoulder. He'll go for an MRI tomorrow. We'll find out more about that either tomorrow or Sunday. And that could be, if he's down for any amount of time, that's bad news.
Right? And it could be nothing. We just don't, there's no point in guessing what the MRI is going to say. Hopefully, with a guy like Sendarik, if he's in a position where you can't be quite sure at that moment, you take him out of the game, you don't play him the rest of the way. So they did the right thing regardless whether it's nothing or something.
Scobie had a quad injury, was questionable, then ruled out. That seemed like it was going into the game as well. We'll hear about that coming up. Winston Guy left the game for a bit, came back. Kerry Taylor has a wrist injury. Those are really the major injuries of the evening for the Jaguars moving forward. That was the Baptist Health System Injury Report. Baptist Health System changing healthcare for good. The Jags and the Falcons coming up Thursday. Cuts to be made before then, though. Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, roster has to be to 75. And the talk pregame was that those cuts are pretty much done already. They had those pretty much decided, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think there are going to be any names on there that will say, wow, what, this guy? I mean, you know, the look, 90-man roster, and that's the case with most teams around the National Football League. I think the first 15 to go are not that daunting for most coaching staff, so I think that'll be the case here. But you know, that final preseason game, the final few spots on this roster will be up for grabs, and there'll be battles on the offensive line. There'll be battles in the defensive secondary. It's going to be a question of numbers at different positions, which are going to affect other position groups. So, you know, there are a lot of guys that, you know, we sit here and talk about it regardless of who's on the team. We're going to be talking about next week. There are going to be NFL careers that are ended all across the league in the next couple of weeks. And for those guys that they put their heart and soul into it ever since they were kids, this is a very nervous time.
Thursday, 6 o'clock kick. The Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars here at Everbank Field. Jaguars.com for tickets. There are tickets available. The Jacksonville motion video from the scoreboard unveiling will encore as well. Pre-game concert in the South End about 5 o'clock or so. We'll go on the air at 3 o'clock locally with the Publix tailgate show, 5 o'clock on the Jaguars radio network with countdown to kickoff and a nice early kick, 6 o'clock Thursday.
And you would expect, you know, maybe the last chance you'll have to see Blake Bortles for a while. So come on at you.
That's
the last
true.
Chance to see the Jags on the field here in Jacksonville for 3 weeks, right, after that, because you're going to go on the road for Philly and Washington, come back for Indy. Who knows the next time you're going to see Blake Bortles throw a pass in anger. You know what I mean? I mean, who knows the last time? I mean, hopefully, well, I'm not trying to wish the worst for Chad.
But I say, you got to be careful with this because
the sentiment, I want to see this guy. If this guy's going to have the career that every Jaguar fan wants him to have, let's get this thing started. But, you know, Gus Bradley is the arbiter of that. So if you want to see Blake Bortles play, the only way you know you're going to see it is next week.
If, just a big if before we get out of here, if Chad Henne is 2-0 after the first two road games and throws for 300 yards each game, couple touchdowns, we still hear about Bortles?
Not nearly as much, because those those games matter, right? And that's ultimate. Look, I think Jag fans want to win, but I think they don't. They feel like they've seen Henne. They know what Henne is. They know what his ceiling is. And ultimately, they know that Chad Henne knows the future is Blake Bortles here. And I think the sentiment is, let's get it started now. But if you get started 2-0. I think they'll be cool with that.
Less to get to between now and then for sure. Well done, Mike. We'll see you next week.
Look forward to it, JP.
Our thanks to Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato here in the studio. Thanks for your calls as well. We will see you next week. A 3 o'clock start with the Publix Tailgate Show Thursday. 5 o'clock with Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. Falcons and Jags kick it off at 6 o'clock. Also remember, Jaguars Monday. Jaguars today on 1010XL. Also, for everyone involved, for Mike Dempsey, this is JP Shadrick saying goodnight. That's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.